Welcome to the Community Oncology Journal podcast for the month of May 2012. I'm Dr. David Henry. This month we bring you news of a new asparaginase approved for acute lymphoblastic leukemia, ALL, patients who have reacted and had hypersensitivity to the E. coli manufactured product asparaginase. Skeletal-related events, or SREs, are a problem in patients with cancer metastatic to bone. Health resource utilization attributable to SREs is reviewed in this prospective U.S. multicenter observational study. Taxotere and Cytoxan may cause febrile neutropenia, and this large community-based retrospective study reviews their data in the adjuvant setting and the frequency of febrile neutropenia. We have a review on recurrent non-small cell lung cancer in elderly patients, a case-based review of current clinical practice. Creating a community-based patient-centered cancer survivorship program is discussed, and that is followed by our Fellows Corner, entitled One Process, Two Perspectives, a discussion of some of the challenges in the first year of oncology fellowship. So let's begin. Erwinia asparaginase for acute lymphoblastic leukemia in children with hypersensitivity to E. coli-derived asparaginase by Dr. James Abram in our community translation section. Erwinia chrysanthemi asparaginase is derived from the bacterium E. chrysanthemi and was recently approved by the FDA as a component of multi-agent chemotherapy in patients with ALL who have developed hypersensitivity to the E. coli-derived product. E. coli-derived asparaginase hypersensitivity may occur in up to 30% of patients with ALL. The major efficacy outcome of asparaginase activity is to achieve a level of 0.1 international units per ml or lower in treated patients. Of the total 630 patients treated either in expanded access or randomized trials with this new product, the adverse events were allergic reaction 17%, pancreatitis 4%, liver function abnormality 4%, and fever 3%. In the first 48 patients studied, 35 achieved the asparaginase level of less than 0.1 international units per ml at 48 hours. This new asparaginase is a significant advance for those 30% of patients who react to the E. coli product. Health resource utilization attributable to skeletal-related events, SREs, in patients with advanced cancers associated with bone metastases. Results of the U.S. cohort from a multi-center observational study by Dr. Mahmood from the Corpus Christi Cancer Center, Texas. Patients with advanced cancer and bone metastases frequently experience SREs, which include pathologic fracture, spinal cord compression, and the need for radiation or surgery to bone. This was a prospective observational study to characterize the health resource utilization associated with SRE development. Patients on study had bone metastases from breast, prostate, and lung cancers, as well as multiple myeloma. Patients were enrolled within 97 days of experiencing an SRE and were followed prospectively for up to 18 months. Health resource utilization, or HRU, was significant. The hospital stay per SRE was longest for pathologic fracture, median 11.5 to 25 days. Median length of stay per other SRE was 6 to 6.5 days for spinal cord compression, 6 to 8.5 days for radiation to bone, and 4 to 4.5 days for surgery to bone. HRU can be significant for patients experiencing SRE. National guidelines from ASCO and NCCN recommend, therefore, that an active bone agent be considered or given to all patients with bony metastases to prevent an SRE. Estimation of the incidence of febrile neutropenia in women receiving docetaxel plus cyclophosphamide as adjuvant therapy for early-stage breast cancer, a large community-based retrospective study by Dr. Berdoni and colleagues from the Georgia Cancer Specialists. In this large study of 662 women with median age of 55 years and median number of cycles of TC, or taxotere cyclophosphamide, of 4 cycles, the primary endpoint was the incidence of febrile neutropenia. The overall use of G-CSF was 97%, with 73% of patients receiving G-CSF prophylaxis and 9% receiving it as secondary treatment. The incidence of FN, febrile neutropenia, was 5% was 71% of those experiencing FN in the first cycle of treatment. Grade 3 or 4 neutropenia occurred in 43% of patients, and neutropenia-related hospitalizations occurred in 4%. Overall, 80% of patients completed 4 cycles of TC therapy, and 89% had a relative dose intensity of at least the recommended 85% using this approach. Recurrent non-small cell lung cancer in elderly patients. A case-based review of current clinical practice by Dr. Ruiz from the Geriatric Division of LSU in New Orleans. Management of recurrent non-small cell lung cancer is a clinical challenge. About one-third of patients diagnosed with non-small cell lung cancer will experience a local, regional, or advanced stage recurrence. Median time to recur is 11.5 months, and median age at initial diagnosis is 71 years, so the patients with recurrent disease tend to be even older. Treating this elderly patient population is a challenge because of the patient's multiple comorbidities, other medications, and socioeconomic factors. These patients are not often accounted for in clinical trials. This article uses a case-based review to describe and discuss some of the challenges facing the older lung cancer patient in the recurrent setting. An 88-year-old man is discussed from initial diagnosis to recurrence and treatment. Standard therapies of surgery, radiation, combination therapy, chemotherapy, single or double therapy, and VEGF or VEGF growth factor inhibition are all discussed in this very nice review, focusing on the initial and follow-on presentation of elderly patients with lung cancer. Creating a community-based patient-centered cancer survivorship program by Dr. Robert Fisher from the Rocky Mountain Cancer Centers in Longmont, Colorado. Surviving cancer can be just as challenging when therapy is finished as the initial diagnosis and treatment for some patients. Survivorship needs can be viewed as management of the toxicities of treatment and the sequelae after treatment, immediate issues of reintegration into one's employment and social setting, and longer-term management of fertility, sexuality, organ system dysfunction, and psychosocial issues of acceptance. This review covers all these aspects and the how-to of developing a community-based, patient-centered cancer survivorship program. Finally, from our sometime fellows corner, Dr. Brendan Curley writes, "One process, two perspectives." 8 months into his fellowship, Dr. Curley recalls the first cancer patient he saw in the clinic, a woman with advanced lung cancer. She had metastatic adenocarcinoma and is now on second-line therapy, yet still responding and coming in for office visits. Meanwhile, Dr. Curley continues to grow and learn in his fellowship as he courses through service after service month, including a month on the bone marrow transplant unit. Yet he still finds the time to worry in clinic about his first patient with advanced lung cancer and will she continue to be alive as he sees her, reviews her test results, and addresses her treatment and side effect management. And that completes our podcast for the May 2012 issue of the Community Oncology Journal. We welcome your comments and suggestions, so please visit us at our website, communityoncology.net, so that's all one word, communityoncology.net, where you can search this current issue as well as archived issues for practical articles and reviews on topics of interest to you. And thanks for listening.